Welcome. This is Benefit from the Bible, the preaching and teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church. May God enable you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, right now we are alive. If you're not quite sure, pinch yourself. You'll find out we are alive. However, a day is coming when each of us will die. We know that reality. We know it has happened to many people that we know. When you think about your day coming, are you ready? Are you ready to breathe your last? Are you ready to see God face to face? When we confess our sins, when we have that God-given gift of faith alone in Jesus Christ, God wants us to know that we are ready. Well, here we are, we're still alive, but we all have loved ones who are no longer with us. We have loved ones who have physically died. As we think about them, we are grieving, but are we grieving with hope? Kind of an odd phrase, isn't it? Grieving with hope. If we are, that's a good thing. If we're not, I think this sermon will be a blessing for us because this sermon is going to help us understand about what hope is and then be encouraged and then be at peace as we think about our loved ones who have died and even as we think about we ourselves dying someday. Before I jump over into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let me just talk a little bit about the letter in general. So Thessalonica, that's still an important city today in northern Greece. So the situation a long time ago is that Paul and his missionary team, they're on a missionary trip, and they end up stopping in Thessalonica to proclaim to them the bad news about sin and the good news about Jesus. What was going on? The Holy Spirit was working through the Word of God, and a number of people in Thessalonica, they were brought to faith in Jesus. It was a wonderful thing. But what happened, though, is there was such intense persecution that Paul could not stay there very long, and he had to leave. But what happened, though, for those living there who were converted, the Holy Spirit was at work in their lives, and the Holy Spirit kept them in Christ. During the time that Paul had been there, he taught them that Jesus would return, and he taught them that they should always remain ready for his return. When they put those two things together, they expected that Jesus would return very, very soon. Maybe in the next couple months or couple years. They thought it would be that soon. But what ended up happening, though, is, of course, he didn't return that soon. He hasn't returned yet. So what happened then is that people in Thessalonica who were believers, they started to die. As time went on, more and more of them died. And the people in Thessalonica, they began to get concerned, thinking, oh, wait a minute now. Uncle Charlie has died. If Jesus comes back now, Uncle Charlie is going to be forgotten about. That's what they thought. So then they addressed that concern with Paul, and then Paul wrote back to them. That's the section we're going to look at today. And Paul is explaining, hey, don't worry about Uncle Charlie. Everything is going to be fine. So that's what we're coming to in our reading today. So in the first part here, part one, sad but believing God's promises. So in the first part of the reading, going back to verse 13, the Bible says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve, as do the rest who have no hope. So talking about people who are asleep, those are people who have physically died, and physically died in Jesus, kind of like Uncle Charlie. So those are the people he's talking about. So Paul is going to write to them so they will not grieve like other people grieve who have no hope. So we know that death is a hard thing. If we think about anyone we know who has died, death is a hard thing. As we live on earth, God has blessed us with many relationships. In other words, we have relationships within our families, at our church, among our friends, in our neighborhoods, at our workplaces, and so on, all these different relationships. When we are alive and other people are alive, we can communicate with each other, we can give and receive encouragement, we can help them or they can help us. So all these amazing things going on when we are all alive. But when death comes, all those wonderful things, they come to an end. So it's only natural that we would grieve. What about grief with no hope? Many people grieve in that way. They are grieving and they have no hope. In other words, they look at physical death being the end. They don't believe there is anything beyond this life. So all they had when that person dies, everything is gone then, and it's gone forever from their perspective, and there is no hope, there is no comfort, there is no joy, there's nothing good. Again, a lot of people around the world today, even people that we know, that's how they are grieving. That's why death is such an upsetting thing to them. But God wants us to grieve with hope. For Christians, we believe that when someone dies in Christ, that is a transfer. So that person who is living here in Christ, when they die, they're simply being transferred to heaven. So for them, it is super wonderful for them to have that transfer to heaven. When we think about them, we know where they are. We know we will see them again. So we are grieving. Yes, we miss them, but we are grieving with hope. We are grieving with certainty, knowing that one day we're going to be reunited with those people who died in Christ. Can you see how the grieving is completely different when you have no hope, when you think this life is it, versus when you know it's a transfer to heaven? I hope you can see the huge difference. And then, going on to part two here, believing two impossible things. Let me read it again. Notice these two impossible things. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. So I just read two impossible things. Let's look at them a little bit closer. So Jesus died and rose again. Doesn't that sound so crazy? Here is a man, and he died on a cross. And just to make sure he was dead, they ran a spear right through his heart, and then he rose again from the dead. Isn't that such a crazy thing to believe? Why would we believe such a crazy thing? Only because God has given us the gift of faith by which we believe that is true. Most people don't believe that. We do believe that, though, even though it's a crazy thing. So because we believe that, look at the second thing. When Jesus returns, he will bring with him those who died trusting in him. That is just as crazy. In other words, we believe that when Uncle Charlie died, God took his soul home to heaven. He's there with God now. He's alive there now with God in his soul. And when the time comes, Jesus is going to come back. Who is going to be with him? Uncle Charlie is going to be with him. He's going to bring his soul back with him when he comes. That's a pretty crazy thing to believe, isn't it? But yet, because we believe Jesus died and rose, we also believe that when Jesus comes, Uncle Charlie is coming with him. These are both things that the world would say are utter foolishness, but yet we believe them because we have God-given faith. And then in part three, still alive and second in line. What's that all about? In verse 15 it says, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep." So think about it this way. When Jesus comes, there's going to be two groups of believers. We're going to have the people who died in Jesus, And we're going to have the people who are still alive who believe in Jesus. Now, the concern of the Thessalonians is that the ones who had died in Jesus, they would be forgotten about. The ones who were living, they were concerned about the ones who had died. But what is Paul writing here? Paul is saying, in fact, the ones who have already died in Jesus, they are going to precede you who are still living when Jesus comes. So actually, the ones who died first in Jesus, they're going to be first in line, and the ones who are still living in Jesus, they're going to be second in line, you could say. So these people are not forgotten about, but rather they will be first in line. And then going on to part four. So Jesus' loud return. Notice what it says. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. So those are not secretive kind of things. Those are very loud things. And when that happens, the bodies of the dead in Christ will rise first. Keep in mind, as we are living now, we are body, soul, and spirit. When someone dies in Christ, soul and spirit, they're taken to heaven. The body remains here. And then we have a number of key passages in the Bible where it says that when Jesus comes, he's going to bring those people with him. And when he gets here, he's going to raise every single body that has ever lived on the face of the earth. Every single body will be raised from the dead. Whether you believe or not, you're going to be raised from the dead. So everyone's going to get put back together, body, soul, and spirit. So the believing soul and spirits will be brought down with Jesus from heaven. The unbelieving souls and spirits, they will be brought up from below, from Hades. They will come back up, and they will have an imperishable body. So right now, our bodies are perishable. So we know that we are headed toward death. But the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, and when he raises those bodies back to life, those bodies will be imperishable. They will be changed from perishable to imperishable. They were mortal, they will become immortal. That will happen first. And then for those who are still living, just like that in a flash, people who are living and perishable will immediately become imperishable. They were mortal, and God will make them immortal. That will happen when Jesus comes back. That's what it's talking about here. And then, going on to part five, together again. So why is it that we grieve? We grieve because of separation. That's why we grieve. Think about the passage there in Matthew 5, the second beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What is that talking about? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus is saying, blessed are those who mourn over their sin. What has our sin done? Our sin has made a separation between us and our God. So when we are recognizing our sin, when we are mourning over our sin, God is saying, you will be comforted. You will be forgiven. So it's natural that when there is separation, there is mourning, there is grieving, but we can look forward, though, to being together again. Notice what it says here in verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain when Jesus returns will be caught up together with them, together with those who have died in Jesus, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall always be with the Lord. So we come there to the word caught up, to the phrase caught up. That's the word rapture in the Latin Bible. So people make a big issue out of the rapture, and many people say the rapture is a secret situation, and it will happen before the end of the world. I would encourage you not to believe any of that. It is not a secretive thing, and it is not going to happen before the end of the world, but rather, people are going to be totally aware when it happens, and it's going to happen right at the end of the world when Jesus comes back. It tells us in Revelation chapter 1 that every eye will behold him when he comes. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to come back twice. He said, I will come again. I will come one time. People who teach about the rapture, they're saying, oh, he's going to come back in a secretive way. He's going to take out the believers, take them back home to heaven, and then he'll come back again later. But that sounds like he's going to come back twice. The Bible never says any such thing. The rapture is simply when he comes. And when he comes, what's going to happen? He's going to bring with him those who died believing in him. So those people will come with him. He'll raise everybody back to life. Everyone will be put back together, body, soul, and spirit. And then everyone who is a believer, both those who have lived until he comes and those who died before he came, then we're all going to be together again. We're all going to be with the Lord and be together. So God is saying, if you have separation now, if a loved one has died, grieve, but grieve with hope. Grieve with certainty, knowing that this great togetherness is coming. And it's going to be super wonderful when it happens. And then finally, in the last part here in part 6, we have comfort now as we await the great reunion. Finally, Paul wrote, therefore, so when he has the word therefore, he's basically summarizing. He's saying, I've just told you all these important things. Therefore, because of what I just wrote to you, comfort one another with these words. So let me go over real quick the key things that Paul has said. So the words he told us, he wants us to know that those who died in Jesus, those people right now are with Jesus. So we don't have to wonder where they are or worry about them. They died in Jesus. They are with Jesus. Number two, when Jesus returns, he's going to bring those people with him. So we can look forward to the return of Jesus because he's going to bring our loved ones who died trusting in Jesus with him. Number three, when Jesus returns, he's going to raise every dead body, and he's going to make every dead body imperishable. It's going to be a body that is indestructible, a body that will last forever and ever. It's hard to even imagine that, but that's what's coming. And then number four, all believers will be together with Jesus in an awesome situation forever and ever. So we have great reason to be joyful, to rejoice in what God is promising. He wants us to know that the best is yet to come. Sometimes life on earth, hey, we have a nice day today here in November, pretty nice, but the best is yet to come. You've heard me say it before probably, but think about that story where the lady had died, and she worked this out before she died, and she said, I want you to put a fork in my hand in the casket. Not a regular size fork, but a dessert fork. You know how the dessert fork, if you go to a fancy restaurant, it's a little bit smaller. Why have a smaller fork for dessert? Maybe you're supposed to take smaller bites and enjoy it a little bit more. But she wanted the dessert fork in her hand. And whenever somebody said, hey, why does so-and-so have a fork in her hand? She wanted the people to know that the best is yet to come. So when we think about going to a fancy restaurant and we work our way all the way down and all we have left is the dessert fork and a spoon. So then we can eat our dessert with that small fork and we can use a spoon maybe to stir the cream in our coffee that goes with the dessert. Let us pray. Father in heaven, in the middle of this evil world, we thank you for your word of truth, which comforts us in our grief and makes us long for the great reunion yet to come. We pray that you would keep us in Jesus and that you would use us to reach others so that they can know him too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are searching for a church home, see our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com, and attend with us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.